This is Joe Kelly from the KRLD Morning News. As you're listening to the mid-morning mic check, the rest of our team is hard at work in the 24-hour breaking news center. We'll break in immediately with severe weather, breaking news, and traffic red alerts.
And this is Chad Benson. I'll break through the noise and break down the day's top stories coming up at noon.
Now, the mid-morning mic check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
And welcome back on this National Work Like a Dog Day.
That's right.
What's the hardest job that you have ever had in terms of like physical labor?
Oh, boy. It's
physically most difficult job that you've ever had. That's easy for me. When I was in college, a couple of summers, I did plastering work with my uncles.
Oh, didn't you do that in 1980 during the historic heat wave?
One of those two summers was 1980. That was rough.
I bet. I think the only like physical labor that I ever did was actually working as a bumper car ride operator at Magic Mountain in Valencia, California.
Oh, was that the one you did one day?
No, that was, I did that for about a month and a half.
Okay.
It was the one I did for one day was the filing at a hospital. And
oh,
those files just kept coming and kept coming. And they said, well, I thought I got done. And they said, no, you got to go around that corner. And I looked running around that corner and there was just files as far as the eye could see. And I'm like, I'm not doing this.
I'm done.
Mind numb.
I'm out.
Yeah.
945-766-1080. You can let us know. The most difficult, challenging job that you have ever had. What was it? And you can give us a call, too. Text or call. As we continue, mid-morning mic check here on KRLD.
And the bottom line, was it worth it, too? If you could go back and say, no, that didn't teach me anything.
No, sir.
It was just breaking my hump. That's all it was.
Uncle Edgar paid me $5 an hour under the table.
All right, there you go. At least you didn't have to pay tax.
I got $200 cash at the end of every week.
Yeah, cash money, y'all.
That's it. There you go. You know, by now, most of us, we've seen the incredible video of this 10-year-old boy from Dallas rescued from the pounding surf in Southern California.
I mean, these waves were huge.
16-year-old lifeguard went out there and saved him. And now the younger boy is speaking out.
I'm so glad that you're sitting here with us today.
Thank you.
10-year-old Nathaniel Rye, like many of you by now, has seen this viral video of himself after a family vacation beach day ended with him almost losing his life.
I was like pretty much on the shore. I got like pulled and then I like screamed for help.
That call answered by a 16-year-old lifeguard, Ryder Williams, who says he saw Nathaniel lose his footing, radioed for help as he rushed into the water to get him.
I think like one more wave happened and I went like unconscious. And like when I woke up, the lifeguards, Ryder was like taking me to shore. I was super thankful because I knew he was going to like save my life.
Since then, Ryder has been deemed a hero, but says he was simply doing the job he loves.
And see, the thing is, those waves come in, they knock you down. And then when it comes back, when the wave comes back, it drags you out to sea.
That's exactly the case. I've been in an undertow before. I've had it where I thought, oh my God, I'm dead. And I'm not an experienced swimmer. I can swim.
Yeah.
But in the ocean, you know, when they say the sea was angry, my friends, just like, oh, it was angry at me that day.
And it was just a few days ago, Nathaniel and his dad got to meet with Ryder, the lifeguard, and thank him personally.
I was like, thank you so much for saving my life. And my sister thanked him.
That thank you led to a video chat with both families, who now in a serendipitous way feel connected.
It turns out there's a lot of commonalities between us. We all really like UFC, so we're talking about going to a fight together. And it also so happens that Shane is a retired firefighter, and Ryder wants to follow in his footsteps and be a firefighter, and I happen to run a nonprofit for firefighters to screen them for cancer.
Tragedy that sometimes can reveal something bigger. Nathaniel and his dad, grateful for it all.
It's NBC5's Jayla Washington reporting. Those lifeguards, you go down to Southern California and see those stands on the beach, and it's not Baywatch.
No, okay? I mean, these guys are in great shape, but they're not, it's not Pamela Anderson running across the beach here.
No, this is a tough job.
And the thing is, you have to be ready for everything. I've just thought about trying to save someone in the ocean and how you've got to get them to remain calm when everything in their body does not want them to remain calm. They want to fight and scream and yell and get that breath of air that they're so desperately needing.
That's tough stuff. I have come close to drowning.
You said this in France, was it?
No, it was in Hawaii, but it was a French woman who saved me.
That's another thing. You got to be embarrassed a bit.
I was out there snorkeling, and I had no flotation device, nothing. And I got tired and started sinking and started yelling for help, and she was right there.
Well, there you go.
My guardian angel.
Yeah, if you're listening, that French woman.
That's right.
Wherever you are. Merci beaucoup.
Also, a very close call as well for a street vendor in Ukraine. Hear about this? This guy, he's out there selling vegetables, and he starts getting chased around by a Russian drone this week.
What the hell?
But he lived to tell about it. Now, he didn't have any help, though. He had to do it all on his own.
The horrifying moments, a Russian drone appears to hunt a defenseless Ukrainian vegetable vendor. The drone buzzing as the man frantically runs around his van, desperately trying to escape. That drone tracking his every move. In an instant, the man ducks for cover, the drone suddenly diving, exploding into a ball of flames. Incredibly, he survives. It hit the car and I was right beside it, the man later said, adding, it struck and I just fell down. The man suffering a concussion and multiple shrapnel wounds, his wife, who was with him at the time, getting away too. President Zelensky sharing the terrifying video, calling the attack against a civilian evidence that Russia has gone mad. The man selling vegetables saying he tried to wave off the drone, Russia giving no indication as to why it appears this vendor was targeted. It comes 24 hours after Russia says a Ukrainian drone plummeted into a crowded beach at a popular Russian tourist resort, killing 7 people, including 3 children. Ukraine says the Russians shot that drone down, claiming they didn't deliberately target the beach.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge reporting.
I just can imagine you're just sitting there, and I just think those drones just coming up to me, it feels like almost like a big insect coming up, and it makes it zzzz.
I thought they were just there to drop bombs.
Yeah, and they're looking at you. And they're surveilling you and like, what are you doing? Now, I get creeped out about anything autonomous like that.
You got different kinds of drones, I guess. This one said, hey, that guy right there.
That guy, he's up to no good.
Well, let's go get him.
I mean, I get freaked out by cars that don't have a driver and they're just sitting there. I've seen one just not moving, just sitting there on the side of the road waiting for like someone to use it. And I was just like, what are they? Are they taking information about me? There he is. Look at him.
A bad day on the job for that vendor. But we're asking this morning, though, 945-766-1080. Worst job you've ever had, the most physically demanding, just awful job that you've ever had. And we've got Sonny. Sonny's calling us from Paris, Texas.
Nice.
And we got him on right now. Sonny, good morning.
Good morning to you guys. How y'all doing today?
Excellent.
And we're doing fine. So this goes back to the pandemic. What happened?
It does, yes. I was a professional chauffeur during that time, and I got furloughed during the pandemic, you know, because everything came to a screeching halt. And Amazon was one of the only companies that were really hiring, you know, because they were an essential business or whatever. So I got hired on, and my very first assignment was to start unloading by hand the trailers that come to the fulfillment centers. Mm. And oh my gosh, that was during the heat of the summer, and I learned very quickly how old and out of shape I was. And it's the worst job I've ever had in my life.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I am 57, and of course that was just a few years ago.
In
my 50s trying to do that. That was not a good equation. So I got out of that as quickly as I could, and now I'm back in the chauffeur industry.
Good deal.
Good right. For you there, Sonny.
Appreciate it, Sonny. We appreciate the call. Thanks so much. We've got this one, a text from a listener in the 682 area code.
All right.
Where that is. Digging ditches as an electrician in a parking lot filled with asphalt around.
And you got to think how hot that asphalt is, especially in the summertime.
Just all black, soaking in that heat. Here's a listener says, I would load square bales of hay in the morning before football practice and then unload it in the barn after practice and then go to evening practice, all in the middle of August in Texas.
Let me tell you, if you've ever done anything with hay, bales of hay and moving them, my cousin is a thinner guy, and I thought, well, I lift, you know, I can do this pretty easily. That guy was totally outworking me. Really? I had those things in the side. I couldn't even barely pick up those hay bales. Those things are hard and to get around, and you have to get those clamps on the side.
That's right. I mean, it's not all about strength when you're throwing those hay bales
It's
around.
All about leverage.
Yeah, exactly. All right, do we take a break? We're coming back on KRLD. The Mid-Morning Mic Check continues after this. We've got a milestone for marijuana in the U.S. We'll tell you about that next. Stay with us.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
So you just got to call Rudy in Fort Worth. Rudy's a trucker. He is in Memphis right now listening on the website,
KRLD.com. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. Got his wife up there in the truck with him, too.
Yeah, and what was his worst job? Griff's?
Yeah, he said he had to work a while at the Griff's Hamburgers. I remember, though. those. They still actually have a few of those around. They had one when I was growing up. They had one close to our house. And Rudy says that was just nasty.
Dealing with the customers and it's all covered in grease after home, the day.
Yeah, every night, just all greased up. It was.
I got to get an education. That's pretty good.
And he did. All right. Good for him. Anyway, 945-766-1080.
I did want to say, I got thrown under the bus here. I dated a girl in high school that could throw a bale of hay farther and higher than any of us guys. Her dad owned a dairy farm, ended up modeling in L.A. It's all about the technique.
It is. That's what I'm saying. It's the not all about the strength. You got to have the right technique.
Hot country girls, I guess.
Let's see. Brandon writes in. He says his most demanding job was being a floor hand on drilling rigs.
Ooh, that would be. I'm just watching The Landman enough. I'm like, I don't want to do anything like that.
And from the 817, toughest job, summer of 79, unloading refrigerated boxcars at night in Loring, Kansas.
Ugh.
And he says that the trailers were connected by metal hitches. It hurt when we would run a shin into a hitch, and it really hurt the second time.
I could imagine. Unloading fridges? Could you imagine putting them on your back or something?
No. Refrigerated boxcars.
Oh, boxcars. Okay, never mind. I thought you the fridge itself.
That would be even worse.
Yeah.
The U.S. has hit a milestone when it comes to smoking. For the first time ever, marijuana has surpassed tobacco as the herb of choice. This is according to the National Survey on Drug Use. It says just under 44 million Americans say they use marijuana on a regular basis. That would be at least once a week, compared to now just 36 million who smoke cigarettes. Of those 44 million who get high, by the way, almost half say they do it daily.
Yeah.
Young people more likely to fire one up, although you'd be surprised at how many older Americans do as well.
And then I got high. Then I got high.
There's another survey out of Harvard. It says one out of every five Americans between the ages of 50 and 80 are regular marijuana users. In spite of this, though, marijuana is still a distant second to alcohol when it comes to our vices of choice. But the gap is narrowing.
Oh, yeah.
This new information, it comes less than a week after a new THC ban went into effect here in Texas. This applies to all synthetically created forms of THC, including Delta 8 and Delta 10. Now, but I don't know about these Deltas. I'm really kind of not up on this.
I know I've had some Delta 9 once before in something, a gummy, I think.
Okay, so the Delta 9 is, that's the lightweight stuff. There's 8, 9, and 10, and the 8 and 10 are banned. 9 is still legal, but that's like 3-2 beer.
It's like Delta Dawn.
What's the point? I mean, you could smoke that all day and not get high. Critics of this new law are now speaking out, though. James Tallarico, for one, addressing his colleagues this week in the state legislature.
This bill is not going to stop Texans from smoking weed or eating edibles just because a bunch of politicians in Austin tell them not to. Texans will still use THC, but instead of getting it safely from a local small business, they'll now get it from the black market, from the drug cartels. This ban is a gift to the cartels. We are now telling full-grown adults how to live their lives. This is the nanny state at its worst. This is big government at its worst. What gives us the right to tell an adult what to do on their own time?
Ken Paxton, meanwhile, not comment, but at least he hasn't yet. But the man driving all this, the man behind it, is Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and he's been very vocal about it.
I understand wanting to protect children, but you have grown adults who are using these products too. Is there a way to do this where grown adults could still have access to these products?
We don't want adults having this either. What are you, crazy? You want to go home and eat a bag of this tonight? See if you're here tomorrow? We want to protect the 20 and the 30 and the 40 and the 50-year-olds, too. We don't want anybody buying anything off the shelf that could kill them or ruin their mental state for the rest of their lives. That's crazy talk. That's the kind of talk, the reason why we're here. Media that would say something as stupid as that.
That new law is, it's now in effect across Texas, and it may become a campaign issue in this Senate race.
Yeah, I think eventually it will. I think that more and more Americans are kind of easing their stance on marijuana in general. That's why I was a little surprised that this took effect in the way that it did, because even the politicians that are Republicans seem to be a little on the fence about this. I don't know anyone as hardcore as Lieutenant Governor Patrick.
I think it's like a lot of laws. If you're not hurting anyone else, you know.
And marijuana, I understand the people that say a slippery slope. I can kind of get that. But the fact is
alcohol.
Yeah, so many other states are doing this now. And it becomes kind of ridiculous if, 40 other states eventually are going to have these marijuana laws and we're still stuck in you can't have anything.
Right.
That's not going to work out.
Which is where we are right now. The trial, meanwhile, of a Massachusetts mom who's accused accused of killing her three children continues with a dramatic reading from her journal. Lindsay Clancy's attorneys say she suffered from postpartum psychosis, leading to some separate medical lawsuits.
The jury heard excerpts from Lindsay Clancy's diary where she describes her mental state leading up to these horrible killings. In it, she talks about her struggles with postpartum anxiety, insomnia, and guilt over sleep training her baby. Now, I'm going to read a couple of really notable excerpts from there. She said, "I want to die. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm completely overwhelmed." But she also wrote about how she was trying to cope and how she was giving herself daily affirmations where she wrote, quote, "I am calm. I will sleep tonight. Today will be a great day. One day I can feel like myself again." Ugh. Now, the reason prosecutors wanted these entries to be read aloud is because they're trying to show Lindsay Clancy planned this. This was intentional. She didn't want to be a mother anymore. And so that's why she decided to kill her three children. Now, defense attorneys, of course, they're framing it as, look, these entries clearly show that she was in the throes of very severe postpartum depression. A toxicology expert testified that Lindsay Clancy was found with several psychiatric drugs in her system when she was found after those murders.
"I'm completely overwhelmed trying to take care of the three kids. I feel like I'm drowning every day." Again, another page that's not dated.
Correct.
It's like I'm so desperate to get a mental break from taking care of everyone that my mind is trying to make something physically wrong with me. You recall reviewing that in the journal?"
"Yes."
You know, and I don't want to throw her husband at the time under the bus, but...
You were talking about getting the kids out of the situation.
Get the kids out of the house.
And if she had had any of this before, why are you continuing having kids with her? I don't know. Again, there's a lot of victim shaming that we could possibly be doing here, but the fact is...
I agree. But the more I hear about this case...
When you have something that severe and she's not getting the help that she needs, something's got to be done because you know something extreme could happen like it did.
That trial's going to be winding down soon up in Massachusetts.
Jumps out of a window. She's in a wheelchair now.
We take a break. We're coming back. The Mid-Morning Mic Check on KRLD continues right after this. Stay with us.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
All right, worst job you've ever had, most difficult, physically demanding job, made you want to pull your hair out. 945-766-1080. Got Linda in Fort Worth. She's with us now on the Mid-Morning Mic Check. And Linda, this goes back. You and a friend were working at Neiman's, right?
Yes, we decided that all we had ever done was teach school, that we needed something different. So we decided between Thanksgiving and Christmas, for several years, we went and wrapped gifts at Neiman's, and it was great. We had the best time, and I guess we did such a good job that they called us back to do inventory.
Had no idea what
inventory we were going to be doing. We were hoping for, like, women's clothes. Anyway, it was cosmetic.
Okay.
I counted 534 tubes of lipstick.
Okay.
My friend Susie counted 533 tubes of lipstick.
Do you got to do it again?
All over
from over one tube?
Over one tube. And of course, we were so honest about it that we wouldn't have.
Yeah, that's right. I would have just said,
jeez.
Anyway,
bad job.
Linda, that point.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Linda. Good story. Wow. One tube of lipstick. Had to do the whole thing over.
You want to go to Billy and Wiley and
let's
see?
Let's do it.
Let's see what he has.
Bill's in Wiley. He's been hanging on for us. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What do we got? Worst job ever.
Okay. Summer job, early 70s when I was in college. I worked for a construction company, and one of the things they did, they poured concrete for parking lots and things like that.
Oof.
Well, one day they had a driver that quit and brought his truck back and had not emptied out all the concrete. Well, it all dried up in there.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
So you had to chip it out?
Yeah. So I'm a small guy, so they put me with a jackhammer in the summer inside the big hopper thing of a concrete truck.
Good God.
No safety glasses, no mask, no earplugs, and said, "Chip this stuff out." I lasted maybe 10, 15 minutes, and I got out of there, and I said, "I'm not doing it. You can fire me, but I'm not doing this."
Yeah.
Well, luckily they didn't fire me.
The hell with this.
Yeah, take this job and shove it.
Man, I don't blame you.
Yeah, it was bad.
All right.
Bill, that's a great story. Of course, you know, and stuff like that, that always happens in the summer, right?
Oh, my gosh. Can you? And in the 70s, he had no earplugs, no safety goggles.
Didn't even have goggles, yeah.
That's right. Just chip away, buddy. Tell us us when you're done.
11:41 now at KRLD as we continue. Boy, you're going to need a lot of self-confidence to eat at this restaurant. It's the Nude Steakhouse in Hollywood, Florida.
The fillets are fully dressed.
Let's do a nude dinner.
The diners, not so much.
They disrobed pretty much here.
Class Soiree Steakhouse is the talk of the town and social media, not just because of the menu, but for what's not on it. The customers, that is. Clothes, none.
Is it choosing socks off first, or how does it work?
Well, we have a bathroom here.
Murad Ali is the chef and owner. He came up with the once-a-month concept to get new business, to generate some buzz. And Chef Ali says there is a market for this. And if you're saying, what? Are you kidding me?
What do you want to say to those people who say that?
Please allow people to express themselves at our place.
Legal? We'll go there before we're done.
Do you find yourself staring at people?
No, not at all.
Tonight, the chef expects about 20 people, men, women, some single, some not. All of them nude. Toshiba Hart is your hostess.
It's more so of a gathering to get to know people, new people in the city and the lifestyle.
You know what I mean? Even though the workers are clothed, wouldn't it be distracting to have the person next to you be just sitting there bare naked?
You know, when they always say this, this always sounds great, but in practice, it's never good. I've never seen anything where they say clothing optional, dining or beach or anything like that, where you go and say, wow, that was worth it. Did you see? Most hot people aren't doing this.
Who's going to wipe down the chairs? That's what I want to know.
The whole thing is ridiculous. Why would you want
to pay,
eat?
Too. You have to pay $300 to participate in this.
That's another thing. Get to know your neighbor. I don't want to get to know my neighbor. I just want to eat a steak here.
I never thought
about eating a steak naked.
Don't want to know them that well.
Yeah.
It's 11:43 at KRLD at Class Soiree Steakhouse. Remember that name.
All right. Hollywood,
you're in
Florida.
South Florida. We take a break. We're coming back to wrap things up right after this.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
So we've all heard of processed foods and ultra-processed foods. This one might be ultra-ultra. Even Rankin says he's not going to go near these. We're talking about...
Even Rankin, does he eat anything? Is he like a garbage disposal?
He did that. Yeah, he'd do it on the air. We try it so you don't have to.
Oh, okay.
Did that for years. But I don't know about this. New special edition flavor of Oreos hit the market.
You said KFC?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. And Oreos combined?
And the ultimate combination of sweet and savory Oreos with a Kentucky Fried Chicken flavored cream in the middle.
Oh.
It looks like a normal Oreo on the outside, but inside the sweet cream filling has been replaced with a filling meant to taste like KFC's original recipe with those 11 herbs and spices.
Why are we so insistent on combining different things that shouldn't be combined?
No, this is definitely a no-fly zone. These cookies came out over the weekend in China right next to a KFC takeout where they sell watermelon alongside the fried chicken.
I mean, again, this is like putting fried chicken in ice cream. I want my ice cream to taste like, Dorito chips or something. Why would just eat the Dorito chips?
Well, now here's another one. In case you can't stomach a KFC-flavored Oreo, they've also announced a new popcorn-flavored
Oreo. This is just dumb. Why do we want to do this as a society?
Because we can.
I guess.
Well, that must be the reason. Today is August 5th. 11 years ago today, one of the most successful plays in Broadway history began a run that continues to this day.
I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm at your service, sir. I have been looking for you.
I'm getting nervous.
Sir,
There you go. Hamilton now up to 3,900 performances just on Broadway, and you still can't get a ticket.
Yeah, they're booked.
1962 on this date in the Brentwood section of Los Angeles.
Okay. Kiss on the hand, maybe quite continental, but diamonds are a girl's best friend.
One of the most famous stars in Hollywood history is dead at 36. Marilyn Monroe was found dead in bed under circumstances that were in tragic contrast to her glamorous career as a comic talent.
She died of an overdose of sleeping pills, and the conspiracy theories about her death continue to this day. Her funeral was small. It was just friends and family arranged by her former husband, Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, that's crazy. crazy. I forget sometimes that he was married to her.
Well, you want to talk about royalty.
Yeah, baseball royalty and then her.
And he had red roses placed in a vase attached to her crypt 3 times a week for the next 20 years.
Joe DiMaggio. Joe.
And the first play-by-play broadcast of a baseball game was 105 years ago today. It was on KDKA in Pittsburgh. Pirates beat the Phillies 8-5 with Harold Arlen at the mic. 1921.
Okay.
First broadcast. And August 5th, 1914, that's the day the world's first electric traffic signal went into operation at the
and
corner
people been
of,
running them ever since.
105th and Euclid in Cleveland, Ohio. Exactly.
Cleveland.
How long did it take for someone to
just zoom right through? I'm not going to wait for that thing. It's making me wait too long.
That's right. Stupid traffic lights.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for us. Mike Rogers, Austin York with you. The mid-morning mic check. Fun show today. If you missed any of it, you know, check out the podcast version of the show. Anywhere you get your podcast, The Mid-Morning Mic Check, right here on KRLD. We had a lot of people listening that way. Thanks so much today. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Chad Benson, he's coming up next, and we'll be right back here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Yes, sir.